We've got a couple of new additions to our families this week. Wild Bill Hitchcock Mathis was born this week. I have all the assurance in the world that he will live up to his name. It seems to be the tradition. And the Likens have a new granddaughter, Anna Kate, born this week. So congratulations to both those families. And as is apparent to all of us, there are more on the way. So exciting times in our congregation. We're going to continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to sing together. So I hope everybody's ready with their Christian lights this morning. We sang earlier, and you know I don't normally sing, which is a good thing, but we sang about the wise man, because the song that we sing about the wise man comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The song that we sing about this little Christian light of mine is certainly taken based on Jesus' teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to sing that together. I want all of our young people to help us, and all of us are young today, as we sing this song, because it does talk to us about what Jesus is teaching us in the Sermon on the Mount. So everybody get their lights out. Everybody, come on, get your light out. This little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine all the time, let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood. We got some good light shiners. I've got it on now. Singing was a good thing. Yeah, I thought we did better. I'm thinking. Last night in the Christian school auction, fall festivals yesterday, not sure how the day went, auction a little over 40,000. Several of you were there. Ben was great helping us, and we had a good time. And sold a lot of stuff, but they sold voice lessons with Alice Clements. And I didn't buy it, but it was my bid for a while. And I told her, you're really lucky that I didn't get that, because you would have needed some mental health help after having to try to help me. So, but we sang that song, and it's an important one. And I want our children to sing, and all of us, because it really sums up what Jesus is teaching us. I'm not going to overanalyze this passage this morning. And what I mean by that is, we could talk about what this means and that means and all the things that salt do and all the things that light do, and those are appropriate. And as I've studied for this lesson, there are all kinds of thoughts about this means this. Years ago that, you know, I read a story, I thought it was a great story. And then when I got to English class, I found out it meant all kind of things that I had no idea it meant. I just thought it was a great story. And sometimes we can overanalyze, and I think it's important. But I really just wanted this morning, in kind of a quick way, and I know you're looking forward to that. What does Jesus mean? What does this mean to me when he said to his followers, you, that's what he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What does that mean to us? What does that mean to me? Well, all of us recognize the value of salt. We don't probably use it like used it, but most everywhere we go, there's salt and pepper on the table, right? And sometimes you bite into something and you go, that needs a little salt. And so we put a little salt on it. I'm not a big salt eater, but pepper, that's a whole different story. But Jesus didn't say you're the pepper of the world. So we'll talk about salt this morning. I remember, and I guess it's still true, we were really into low sodium there for a while, so they had the lighter salt. And it didn't do quite the same job. So you put three times as much. I'm not sure. It accomplished the purpose. But salt brings out the flavor. It makes a difference. We know it preserves things. Our country hams are salt cured to preserve them so they don't have to be refrigerated. It is a preservative. You put things in salt and it preserves. It purifies. Salt is even necessary for life. We get enough salt. We don't think about, did I get enough salt? We probably think, did I drink enough water? Those type of things. We might take some supplements, but very rarely today do we take extra salt. But it's necessary. For those of us in the livestock business, we keep salt out for our cattle. Or maybe some of you use it to bring animals in. If you don't let them have it and you put salt out, they'll come to it. You call them and they'll get used to coming. But nutritionists will tell us that the right balance of salt and minerals is an important thing. It's part of life. So we do that. But Jesus says in this sermon to his followers, you are the salt of the world. You are the salt. You add flavor. You make a difference in the world. As we look around us, in our communities, in our society, in our world, even in our own lives, there are things we see that excite us, there are things we see that concern us, there are trends that are worrisome, there are patterns that we're pretty sure are not sustainable, and I agree with those. And there are lots of ways to attack those, but I'm convinced of this, that sometimes we try to attack things too much on a large scale level and too little on a grassroots basics level. What do I mean by that? The area over which I have the greatest impact and influence is over the people with whom I come in contact with on a regular basis. The people in my home, the people that I work with, the people in my community, all of us on each other, we have an impact. And we often overlook that. We often think, well, if I can't do something on a grand scale, that I'm really not going to have a tremendous impact. But if you look at the life of Jesus, no multimedia presentations, no Lear jets, no large movement around the globe with the message. Jesus teaches and preaches and lives and heals. The very things that we looked at the end of chapter 4, remember? We said these are the things Jesus did, and part of that teaching is going to be summed up. Where Jesus went, where he lived, and in a very small area of the globe, Jesus taught and lived and performed his miracles and changed the world. Right? We need to remember that. Jesus changed the world by changing the people that were around him. And as they went out with the message of God, they made a tremendous change. They made a difference. They were salt. They were like leaven. If I can add another analogy into our lesson. That a little leaven can ruin a whole loaf, or it can make a difference, right? That you and I can make a difference. Too often, I wait on the group. Too often, I wait on a program. Too often, I wait on something formal. When Jesus is saying here that to those followers, you, I think he's even speaking to them as individuals, you are the salt of the earth. It is you that will make a difference. Every day you make a difference. Somebody's watching you every day. The things you say, the things you do, the attitudes that you have, the way you dress, the way you perform your job. All of those things are important and make a difference in the world around us. Because we all look at others and gauge from their opinions and from their actions. And so how I live, how you live, what we do makes a difference. How we treat others, how we handle success, how we handle adversity. All of those things are part of our being salt. None of us is an island, or we certainly shouldn't be. And we are, even if we want to be. Someone is watching and paying attention to what we're doing. And so you and I must be making a difference in the world in which we live. And even those small differences multiply when we're about living and teaching and being about kingdom business. When we live as people of the kingdom, it makes a tremendous difference. I want to come back to salt in just a minute, but I want to go to light. Light has changed our world. We talk about great inventions and all of those things, but I'm going to tell you, the light bulb probably has done as much to change our world as anything. As anything. Why? If you didn't have a light bulb, would we be able to drive at night like we do? No, I mean, we take that for granted, but we wouldn't. I mean, before the light bulb, could people move around? Yeah, but how slow would you be going? It wouldn't be. We went to Whitmore. Friday night to a ball game. That's a destination spot. It's right there with, the Caribbean islands. But it was a great place. It's really not that far. It's Marion County. It's not bad. But with our modern transportation, it's less than 2 hours. It's less than 2 hours you can make that trip and come back. Now, there was a time that would have been a big deal. But if you hadn't had lights, well, one, you wouldn't have been there at night to start with, but it would have been a big deal. But today it's not a big deal. It's changed the way we work. Because before lights, how much night work did you do? Now, we have whole factories that work 24 hours a day because light lets us do what? Work just like it's daytime. It's completely changed our world. We can read. We can see and hear. Even in the daytime, we have lights. It used to be a struggle for people with oil lamps to be able to read and do those type of things because it was just hard on their eyes. You couldn't see. But we've got great lights. We can do all kinds of things. And so light lets us see things and do things and enables us. And it gives us direction, right? I like to go to Amish country because it's very different than here. Because what starts happening when it starts getting dark? The lights all start coming on, right? We've even got ours on a timer so that when it starts getting dark, we got it time for our lights to come on our porches and we can see. But I can remember Carrie and I went up to Pennsylvania and it starts getting dark and guess what? No lights are coming on. It's very different because we're used to light. And by those lights, we kind of know where we are, right? If you're out in the night, you kind of know there's somebody's security lamp, or that's somebody's house. Or especially in the western part of the United States where it's flatter and those things, you can see the lights of the city for a long time before you get there. Here we can see the glow, but even though Murfreesboro is not far, it's just the glow we can see because the hills are kind of there. But you can look way out and you can see that city and you can figure out kind of where you are or where you're going. Light gives us direction. We know the way out or the way to where we're going, and it lets us see. And we all understand that. But what Jesus is saying to us in that common, what we just take for granted, is that you and I are to be the light of the world by which people can see. People in darkness can see. They know which way to go. We provide clarity in a world that's wandering. For a world that doesn't know in which direction to go, we are reflections of the light of God. So people will be able to find direction, to be able to see where they are going, to know where there is hope and life. And that's our call. We don't turn on the lights and then shield them, do we? We don't. We turn on the light hopefully so we can be able to see. It lights a whole room. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You don't have to have a light just right with you. We've got lights. The whole room is lit up. Or a beacon. What we would know as lighthouses. You can be miles offshore and see a lighthouse. And it tells you, one, that's where the shore is. And what else does it tell people? Lighthouses all have their own signature. The way that the light, the timing and the way the light is refracted is different. And so a trained captain can tell by what lighthouse he's looking at exactly where he is. We can give direction. But what happens if the lighthouse isn't working? What happens? One, you can get too close to shore, right? And get caught on the rocks. Crash. Or if you're expecting there to be a lighthouse, a beacon that can direct us either home or let us know where we are, and it's not there, then I'm lost. So our role is to be light to the world around us. And it's each one of our responsibilities. It's not something we should say, well, that's what somebody else does. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You make a difference in the world. Don't just be frustrated. Live differently. Live in a godly way so others can see. Now, what happens if we're not salt and light? The world is much worse off. People don't have a way, or at least lose a way to see God and how God will have us to live, because we're called to be people of the kingdom. But here's what Jesus says. If the salt is not salty, then we'll just throw it out on the street and walk on it. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if you're not about being salty, you have lost your value. You see, it's really not an option for you to be salt. I've called you to be salt. It's a responsibility that you have. And it ought to really be something that we can't stop. It ought to be so much about who we are that it is just obvious. Because you don't have to program salt to be salt, do you? That's silly. But we don't have to tell salt to be salt. Salt, by its very nature, does what it's supposed to do. And so, as Christians, as people of God, following God and being about His business and living in His way should be so much who we are that we make a difference in the world almost without fault. That we're just living. We're doing it. We're being. But if we don't do that, if we become satisfied, well, I found my salvation and in that I am satisfied, then we have lost our ability to be salt and we've lost our value. But what happens when we do act as salt and light? I'm not talking about being great orators. I'm not talking about being the sun. I know I said it's going to be quick. I'm not as quick as I thought it would be. I still love those Jimmy Dean commercials where the guy's the sun. Because there's such a subliminal message under that. You know, I just love that those commercials. We're not called to be the sun. You got that? We're not called to be the sun, but we are called to be light and to, in our lives, illuminate the light of God's Son. We don't have to light everything. That's God's role. But we're supposed to light in the area where we are. We're to illuminate the area where we find ourselves. If we don't do our job, we're not of value. But when we do fulfill our role, then Jesus says this, then our Father who is in heaven is praised. When we're about lighting in the corner where we find ourselves, and all of us will light in a different way, in a different place and in a different way because we're all different. But it doesn't make one more important than the other. But when I fulfill the role that God has called me to, then the Father himself is praised. Let your light, he's talking to each one of us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. We're called to be light. It's really not any more complicated than that. I don't think Jesus was giving us a complicated message. He was taking something that we understand and say, that's who you need to be in the world. It's not just the role of the apostles or the church leaders. It's the role of all of us. It's not just our role as a collective group, although we work together, but it's our role as individuals to make a difference in the world in which we live. And in doing that, God will receive the glory. When we're about God's business, he will receive the glory. What's our place? Finding our place. Letting our light shine. Letting the nature of God indwell us. And then living in God's way so that the world around us is changed. So that people see the difference. They have a light by which to see and which to know the direction toward God. And God is praised. You. Each one of us are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And we have a role to fulfill each and every day. And if we do that, it will be amazing the difference that we'll make in the community that is around us. If you need to come forward in a public way, confessing Jesus as Lord and putting him on in baptism, or you need the prayers of this church, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.